Part 2. A Christmas Party. It was a lovely party, although it was very informal, for Mrs. Emery had planned it only a couple days in advance. The food was superb, and now the kids played ping-pong and Chinese checkers. But it got too dull for Sandra and Diana, a vivacious blonde. Well, Steve had his car, didn't he? And Snack Keys was still open. Julie observed with interest the various personalities of her teenage friends. There were the younger ones, the 13 and 14-year-olds, Chubby, Jolly Donald, and Andy with the crew cut, who played ping-pong now. There was shy, quiet, but always fun-loving Jeanette, timid, easy to get along with Darlene, Darlene's cousin Irene with the mysteriously bewitching eyes. There was the freckle-faced mischievous Frank, Ella's little brother, who was now goofing off with his Mexican friend Carlos just home from boarding school. Sam and romantically smiling Alice sat in a corner with another couple, the new guy Joe and pretty, blonde, but socially insecure Samantha. She admired very much the boy beside her who strummed the guitar. Then there was the pretty Spanish doll, Margarita, affectionately called Rethi. Now she sat talking to Alan, good-looking, witty, and magically charming Alan McIntosh. The room grew stuffy. Quickly Julie ran from the building, out into the cool night. She did not mind the soft drizzle of rain that fell onto her hair. In a luxurious white sedan sat the unhappy Steve chasing Cynthia. Julie watched as Carolyn literally dragged Cynthia out of Steve's car. Then Carolyn climbed in with Steve, and with Sandra and Kurt, an intellectual, but deliciously cute. They invited Julie to go along for the ride. It was short and simple, but fun. The night wore on. Julie found herself inside once more. Jim, the gay sophisticate who had come to the party only to bring his sister Cynthia, sat playing chopsticks with Alan. Now Alan called Julie to the piano, and she came like a robot. Jingle bells, jingle bells, silent night, holy night, I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, sang the voices of those gathered around the piano, and Julie's hands followed mechanically. Finally, when all had lost interest except Alan, Joe, and Samantha, Alan said, "Play this." He placed music in front of Julie. The First Noel. The rickety old piano in the empty hall sounded sick, but Alan stood by its side, completely entranced. When Julie had finished, he said, "Play it again, please." Julie looked at him in wonder. There was a faraway look in his eyes and a strange glow on his face. Julie caught the spell, the atmosphere, the breath of Christmas. "I like it," he said, looking down at her. And Julie played it again. "Anyone need a ride home?" Sandra called as she flew down the steps. "I've got Daddy's car tonight." "I do," Alan called back. "Then, is it all right, Mom?" Mrs. McIntosh hesitated. "Okay." But 11 o'clock and not 1 minute later. Kurt, naturally, sat in the front beside his sweet Sandra, so Alan climbed into the back beside Julie. The night was chilly, and their warmth breath collected on the inside of the windows. Julie remembered another night, almost a year ago, when another car had been fogged up. It had been soon after last year's Christmas. But instead of Kurt and Sandra, there had been another couple, Ken and Gloria. Then, a touch of a hand and a look in two sincere blue eyes was all it took to write an innocent love. Now, the warmth of Alan's arms felt pleasant to Julie, but, like the spring violets frozen in the ground, she was numb, feeling no emotion for the boy whose lips pressed close against her own. "Sure, it's going to be fun. Don't you think so?" Sandra couldn't understand Julie. She turned off the engine of the car as they pulled into Julie's driveway. Julie forced a smile and laughed nervously. "Yeah. It'll be great. Then why are you acting so scared?" "Sandra," Julie sighed, "I was there last year." With Alan, Sandra added with an air of finality.